evening. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the book of Proverbs in the 6th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, the book of Proverbs and the 6th chapter. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing a song Brother Houchin has suggested, and at this time, we'll be making the invitation plea, which is always open, but at this time, we'll be standing and singing to encourage you that if you've never put on Christ in baptism, that you would think of the words of the song and of the sermon, and if your heart is pricked, that you would come forward and let your request be known that you want to be baptized into Christ. Or if you have left the faith and you need to be restored to Christ and this family, we'd be glad to pray with and for you to restore you back to Christ. In the book of Proverbs, in the 6th chapter, I want to read with you, beginning at verse 20. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. In the first few chapters of this book, Solomon speaks of wisdom as personified as a mother and father. And another way of seeing this, we must understand the will of God and follow His will. And there is a great need in our day to instill into the hearts of all the greater and deeper appreciation for the book. Even before the service, my young son Sam looked at me and he said, I have a book which is called the Word, or known as the Bible. And that's exactly right. We have the Word of God, the Bible, the book. And what I'd like for us to do is look at the talking book. The first thing I want us to understand is the fact that the Bible is a guide for your whole life. Now, as we look at verse 22 of the book of Proverbs, we see that the book of God is His guide in His whole life. When thou goest, notice the statement, when thou goest, when you roam, notice it serves as a guide. Man is in need of a guide. In your Bible, in the book of Jeremiah and the 10th chapter, the prophet of God makes a statement in verse 23 when he said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. It's not within us to be our own guide. We need somebody to guide us. And the Bible, the Word of God, will guide us. If left to his own wisdom, man would indeed be most miserable. But the book of wisdom is the only infallible guide. And this should cause us to have a deep appreciation for the Bible, because it guides us in life. You remember when the prophet Isaiah was writing in Isaiah 53, and we often think about that in reference to Christ, as we should. But you remember he makes the statement in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We have all gone our own way, contrary to the will of God, and thus we need a guide. And because of our sin, you remember he said, the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So when I look at the Bible, the Word of God, I have a deep appreciation because it is the Word that guides me. But secondly, in verse 22, he says, when you sleep, it will guard thee. And the picture here is the Word will watch over you and guard you and protect you. That the Word is our guardian. That when I lay down to sleep at night, I know that I have followed the will of God through the day because I followed the guide. And now I can sleep at night and restful slumber because the God of heaven is watching over me. You remember in the 121st Psalm, the psalmist makes that declaration. But look at the third thing the psalmist or the proverb says in Proverbs 6. He said, when thou wakest, it is our companion. It talks with us. It talks to us. And we should take heed to the talking book. But the second point I want to make to you tonight is not only is the Bible a God for our whole life, it is the Word is living. As we continue our line of thought, look at the fact that the Word of God is a living book. Notice, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1, that when Peter is writing his epistle to the churches throughout Asia Minor, that Peter makes a statement in verse 23. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, he said, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which what? Lives and abides forever. I want us to understand tonight that the Word of God is living and is able to speak and thus is not dead. And notice, it does not live now. He says it will live and abide forever. And notice verse 24. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flowers of the grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. This word is the living word of God. Notice in your Bible in the Hebrew letter for just a moment, and the fourth chapter, that when the Hebrew writer is bringing to the mind of the people the power of the word of God, he gives a great description to us. In verse 12 of chapter 4, he said, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice it says it can pierce and divide the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Therefore, the Word of God is living. But notice also it speaks truth. It is not only the living Word, it's the truthful Word. It is the Word of truth. In John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy Word. Thy Word is truth. The truth is of Christ. And the truth will live. Open your Bible for just a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look, if you will, kindly beginning at verse 9. And notice, he's talking about the Word in verse 9. We often have heard people use this in description of heaven. He's not talking about heaven in verse 9. He's talking about the gospel, where it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. That may sound like heaven, but he's talking about the Word. He's talking about the gospel. Then notice what he says in verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So when I look at the Bible, I see that the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of Christ, that has revealed unto me what is needed. Look at what he says in verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Have you ever stopped to think that the Bible is the living Word? And in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, you see God, you see Christ, you see the Spirit, and you see it being revealed to man, the Word of God. It is the living Word. It is the truth Word. But notice something else. I want you to think that in the book of Proverbs and the 6th chapter, that the Bible talks to men. And we see this Word as being alive and talking to men. And just what does the book say to men? First of all, it talks about men. You go back and look at the Bible and you'll find it speaks about men in days gone by. In Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find that it's filled with language talking about men of faith and women of faith, those who live by faith. And so I see that the Bible talks about men. It talks about individuals of faith. And this book tells us about people who live by their faith. But not only does it talk about men, it talks about men of all convictions. Notice, if you will, the book talks about men that we cannot but know that had a different condition. Some were pleasing to God in Hebrews 11, but some were displeasing to God. It shows the individual warts and all. It shows Abel, who was worshiping God in truth, and Cain, who was found displeasing to God because of his false worship. And so we find in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter that it speaks about all kinds of men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about the man who was living in sin, who was living with his father's wife. And it talks about the thief in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. So as I look at the book, I see the book talking about man, and we see man in every state of life in different conditions before God. Isn't that beautiful? That God has revealed to us the different states of men and given us an example by which we should walk. But thirdly, I want to bring to your mind, the Bible speaks where we can understand. The talking book is very plain in words. Open your Bible kindly to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter, notice what is said in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can you understand what the will of the Lord is? Yes, sir, you can. You know why? Would God give us a book we couldn't understand? Now, I recognize there are some things that are difficult, and I recognize there may be some things I don't fully understand. But when it comes to the plain, simple gospel, I'll tell you, my friend, you can understand it. You may not obey it, you may disagree with it, but it's not a matter of understanding. You can understand what the will of God is. And when I think about the fact that it is written and it should be applied to our lives. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice beginning at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've already briefly written, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It's so plain that people can understand it. We can understand what is written if we but apply it to our lives. It's so plain that in Acts chapter 2, you find 3,000 people being converted to the Lord after one sermon. One sermon. They understood what they needed to do. But I'll tell you what else the book does. It keeps back nothing that is profitable to man. Everything that is profitable to man is in the book. Nothing's held back. When Nathan came to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and he said to him, "Thou art the man," the book tells us when we are in sin. I'll tell you what else the book tells us about. The book tells us about heaven in Revelation 21. Certainly it's profitable to man to talk about heaven and life hereafter. To remember what we have as the children of God, as heirs of Christ. As heirs to the kingdom of God. But the Bible also in Matthew 25:41 warns us about hell. And that's profitable, though sometimes men have no desire to hear about it. But the talking book speaks about hell and torment and suffering forever for those who do not obey God. So when I look at the talking book, I see it speaks where I can understand, and it gives me everything profitable. But not only does it talk to men, and not only does it talk about men, notice it talks with men. Now, when I think about it talking to men, notice it is our companion. The talking book has a great influence upon our lives when it speaks and we listen. Look back in Proverbs 6:24. He said it keeps us from evil. You know what we need to understand is that if we have a good understanding of the Bible, if we have a good understanding of what has been revealed to us, it will keep us from ungodliness. It will keep us from wickedness. It will keep us from evil. Secondly, it will encourage us where we do not grow weary. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Galatian letter and the 6th chapter. In Galatians chapter 6, look at what is said in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Notice he said, do not grow weary. That their time will come when you will reap what you have sown. And therefore it tells us, do not give up the faith. Do not grow weary in doing good. He says, keep on doing what you need to do. But then if you take your Bible, look in the 119th Psalm. And when you come to the 119th Psalm, look at what the psalmist had to say in verse 50. In verse 50 of the 119th Psalm, he had said in verse 49, remember the word to your servant upon which you've caused me to hope. And then he says in verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Where do you turn when you have affliction? Where do you turn when life is tumbling in? I'll tell you what the psalmist said. I know that I have the word of God, and it has given me hope, and it has given me comfort. Sometimes, my friend, the book talks to us, and we just need to heed it. The talking book reveals that the word of God will help us in our affliction. It will give us life, comfort, and hope when we need it most. But notice something else. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice, if you will, that when Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, that Paul is telling them a great lesson about life beyond the grave and when Christ returns and that we'll be called up to meet him. And he tells them in verse 18, comfort one another with these words. He had said in verse 13, do not be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep. That's died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. If we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Christ. We'll see them again. And that gives me hope. That gives me comfort. That I will be with Christ for all eternity. And I'll tell you, the talking book soothes our sorrows, makes us strong when we're weak, encourages us when we need to be encouraged, gives us hope beyond the grave. And you know, my friend, the book talks to you tonight and tells you that you need to obey. It needs to touch your heart so that you can become a child of God. Tonight, our plea is that you heed the word of God. The talking book that says, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. You know what the book is saying? Obey God and follow him. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come.